بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وجاءوا أباهم عشاء يبكون. In the last episode of this great surah Yusuf, we discussed scene number 5, where after lowering Yusuf alayhi salam and throwing him, abandoning him into that pit, into the well, the brothers then returned to their father at nightfall and they came weeping, crying, putting on a show before their father. And they explained to their father, lied to him with regards to the fate of Yusuf alayhi salam. And they presented the shirt of Yusuf alayhi salam to the father, which was of course colored and soaked in fake blood, the blood of a little kid, a goat which they had slaughtered. Yusuf alayhi salam remained in that pit, in the well, for a period of 3 days and three nights. And the father, Yaqub alayhi salam, he understood and he realized that the brothers were guilty of foul play and they were guilty of bringing some harm upon his beloved son Yusuf alayhi salam. And he then addressed them when they came to him that night and they presented this fabricated version of the story to him. Yaqub alayhi salam, what did he say? He says, قَالَ بَلْ سَوَّلَتْ لَكُمْ أَنفُسُكُمْ أَمْرًا. He turned to his sons, all 10 of them, and he said, rather, your inner desires, your nafs, your anfus, anfus is a plural of nafs, your nafs is what seduced you to do something evil. Allah has created insan and Allah has placed within him two elements and two components. The one is the aql, the intellect, the mind, the brain. And the second is the nafs, the inner self, the carnal desires that is situated in every human being. Whenever we are faced with a situation, we are required to apply the aql, the mind, the intellect. And if we allow the nafs, the inner self, to gain strength and power over the aql, over the mind, then that is when a person behaves like an animal. So, Yaqub alayhi salam says, it seems as if your nafs had gained power, strength, it overpowered your aql, your intellect. So that anfus, that inner self and that carnal self that is found within you is what made you lose that ability to think correctly. And sometimes you and I, when we are faced with temptation, the temptation to commit sin, so it's either the aql which reacts. If the aql reacts, the mind reacts, the intellect reacts, then a person will avoid that sin, that temptation, he will not fall for it. But if the nafs reacts, and the nafs gains strength, the inner self, that carnal self gains strength over the intellect, over the mind, then a person falls into the trap of temptation and commits that vice, that sin. And thereafter, he realizes what a crime he has committed against Allah. فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. Yaqub alayhi salam teaches us how to react to the situation when you are faced with a calamity and this type of news comes and just bangs, hit you out of nowhere. Unexpected, you are told of a loss of a family member, a loss of a child, a loss of a parent. And of course, we will experience such occasions and such events. What does he do? فَصَبْرٌ جَمِيلٌ. He says, sabr, to exercise patience, is jameel, it is beautiful, it is the best thing for me to do right now. There's nothing else I can do, it is beyond my control. So I will have to persevere. Wallahu al-musta'an, and Allah is the one from whom assistance is sought. Subhanallah. I am going to turn to Allah. And that is the whole objective and the whole purpose why Allah brings a calamity upon you. A calamity should not take you further away from Allah, but it should make you turn to Allah. Ya sahib al-ham, إن الهم منفرج لا تجزعن إن الفارج الله إذا بليت فثق بالله وارض به إن الذي يكشف البلوى هو الله. The poet says that when you are afflicted with a calamity, turn to Allah. The only one who can remove it is Allah. Be happy with the decision of Allah, number one, with the decree of Allah. What Allah has decided, express happiness. Do not express resentment and displeasure and anger at the decree of Allah. Turn to Allah, only Allah can alleviate the suffering and remove the pain. So he says, وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانُ عَلَىٰ مَا تَصِفُونَ. Allah is the one whom I turn to in this difficult time, and from Him alone shall I seek assistance and guidance. In this scene number 5, which comes to an end with this response by Yaqub alayhi salam, we will find that Yaqub alayhi salam now, for a very lengthy period of time, he does not play a role in the story anymore. For the next 40 years, not that the series is going to continue for 40 years, but I mean in context of the story itself, not the Jummah programs. May Allah allow us to live for so many years, inshallah, and many more, filled with health and piety and everything good of this world, inshallah. So we move on to lesson scene 6. So Yaqub alayhi salam, he's out of the story. You will not hear about him, because he is based in this little village, Kanaan, right? We spoke about Kanaan, a little small village somewhere in Asham, somewhere in Syria. That's where he is living. And now the whole story and this whole narrative now moves where? It moves to the capital of civilization, Egypt. Egypt was the capital of civilization. Egypt enjoyed its prime in terms of infrastructure, in terms of technology, in terms of civilization and so forth. So now we are moving from a little village in Canaan, in Asham, in Syria, and we are moving now all the way to Egypt. But before we get there, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of what happens to Yusuf alayhi salam while he is in that well, in this pit, in this deserted jungle of Canaan. Allah says, وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةٌ فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَهُ. Allah says, a sayyara came along, sayyara, right? On that road. And Yusuf alayhi salam was in a pit on the side of that road. And Allah says, a sayyara comes along. Now today, sayyara is used for the motor vehicle that you drive. We refer to it as a sayyara, sayyaratun, a car, a vehicle, right? But sayyara originally refers to a caravan, a group of wayfarers, a group of travelers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, a sayyara comes along. Amazing. This sayyara, this group of travelers and this caravan, they were coming all the way from Syria, right? Upper part of Syria, and they were moving along this way, passing through Canaan, and on their way to Egypt. They were a group of businessmen or merchants who wished to go over there to Egypt and sell their merchandise in the markets of Egypt. But the amazing thing is that they lost the route set out for them. They actually got lost. Now to you and I, this sequence of events, will refer to it as something accidental. It was not meant to happen. They lost the route and they did not have no intention of passing by Canaan and moving on to that route. But this is the plan of Allah. Look at the amazing, amazing plan of Allah. To you and I, it might seem accidental sometimes, right? But in the infinite mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His knowledge, that was exactly part of the plan. They ended up at that exact spot. And it was because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wished for them to stray off the set route that they had chosen for themselves and arrive at that area. When they came to this place, in those days, every caravan, every group of wayfarers or travelers, they always had a vanguard. A vanguard was a person who would move ahead of the caravan, and he was responsible for attending to the needs of the caravan and the travelers. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when they reached this area, that specific spot, فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ, they sent their warid. Who is the warid? The warid is the vanguard. They sent their vanguard, they sent this person to go and search for some water for them in that area and see if he could bring back some provision for them. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this man, and his name was Malik, the warid, the vanguard who went to the well, who eventually found this deserted pit Right? His name was Malik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, when Malik came to this jub, as Allah refers to it, this pit of a well, فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَ. Allah says, فَأَدْلَى دَلْوَ. He lowered his dal. What is dal? Dal is a bucket. He lowered his bucket into this well. And Yusuf alayhi salam saw this bucket, and to it there was a rope that was attached. He saw this coming down to him from above. He realized that this is the divine help of Allah. And you, my brother, sometimes when you are in that dark, deserted, lonely pit in some point in your life, what you need to do is keep on looking up. You need to keep looking up for the divine assistance to come from Allah. Don't ever stop looking up. Whether you are going through a financial difficulty, or whether it is an emotional problem, or whether it is some, whatever it may be, you are in that dark spot in which Yusuf alayhi salam found himself, but he never stopped looking up. Keep on looking up, keep on looking at Allah. It's only Allah who will be able to help you and assist you during that time. And here the divine assistant comes down, he grabs onto that rope. Don't wait for a rope and a bucket filled with gold to come down. Yusuf alayhi salam, he held onto that rope. And Malik began pulling up this rope, and he began pulling up the bucket. And when the bucket came to the top, can you imagine how shocked he must have been? He was so shocked because the last thing he expected was for his bucket to come up, and attached to it is a young boy. And this was no ordinary boy. We spoke about the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. So here Malik sees this wonderful, handsome, like a full moon that rises on a dark black night from a deserted, dark, abandoned well. He sees this adorable youngster coming out of it. He's so amazed and so shocked. He shouts out, Ya Bushra! Ya Bushra! What good news! What is this? Subhanallah! He was blown away, blown off his feet. So he exclaimed this and he made this remark, Hadha ghulam! This is a boy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of how amazed Malik was. Next, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wa asarruhu bida'ah. Allah says, and they kept him hidden. Asurruhu, asarruhu, sir. Sir is a secret. To keep something a secret or to keep something concealed and hidden, you will say asarruhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they hid him as merchandise. Bida'ah. They hid him away as merchandise. What does this mean? Mufassirin says there are two interpretations. The latter is perhaps more preferred. That Malik, he knew. At first he was excited and he exclaimed, but then he had an afterthought. He says, why don't I keep Yusuf, this young boy, why don't I keep him hidden from the others in the caravan so that I can go back and sell him in the market, in the slave market of Egypt, and I can have the full share of profit for myself. I do not have to distribute it amongst others. So one interpretation is that Malik kept him hidden. He informed some of his friends and he told them, well, if we are asked regarding this young child, then just inform the others in the caravan that we have purchased him in Syria. While we were in Syria, we purchased him and now we are transporting him to Egypt. Otherwise, everyone will want a share in the price of Yusuf. The other interpretation is that, and this is the preferred interpretation, is that the brothers concealed his identity and then sold him to the travelers. How did this happen? Remember we spoke about Yehuda, right? The eldest brother. Yehuda, during those 3 days, what was he doing? He was bringing provision for Yusuf alayhi salam because he always had this concern for Yusuf alayhi salam. So during the 3 days, every now and again, he'd come lower some food for Yusuf alayhi salam, and Yusuf alayhi salam would have this food. On the third day, when Yehuda comes and he lowers the food, he finds that no one is there to receive the food. He realizes that Yusuf alayhi salam has been removed from the well. Or somehow he has escaped from the well. So he rushes back to his brothers and says, listen, this is what has happened. Yusuf is no longer down there in the well. What should we do? So they all come out and they all go to that area and they start searching that area and they come across the caravan. The caravan was still based there. They would set up base and remain for a period of days in a certain area and then continue the journey. So when they came, they found Yusuf alayhi salam. He was hidden amongst the people of this caravan. And they come up to him and say, this young boy, he's our slave. This is what the brothers are saying. You know, subhanAllah, sometimes you do an act or you perpetrate a wrong against somebody.
But then over time you feel remorseful and you wish you could undo the wrong that you did. Allah gave them the opportunity, the brothers of Yusuf, to undo the wrong that they did. 3 days have passed, yet no remorse, no regret, nothing. What did they say? This boy is a slave of ours. He has escaped from our care. And we will not allow you to take him unless you pay us a price. So this is what is meant here. وَأَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَةٍ. They concealed his identity and they made him into merchandise. They sold him. The brothers actually sold Yusuf alayhi salam to these travelers, to Malik especially. And Allah says, وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. While Allah was fully aware of all what they were doing. Allah was watching it. Allah knew. Allah knows. Right? And this is a consolation and a source of comfort for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because remember when the surah was revealed, when he's going through a very difficult time in Makkah and he's being persecuted and punished from all quarters and from all sides. So Allah is informing the Nabi of Allah, just as I knew what the brothers of Yusuf had done to Yusuf alayhi salam, I am fully aware of what is happening to you, what is happening in the world. People are suffering in different parts of the world. Do not ever feel that Allah has abandoned us, Allah has become unmindful. Allah is fully aware, Allah is watching. This is a process, it is a chain of sequence of events that will lead to the ultimate plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming to fruition and being materialized. Allah says, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. وَشَرَوْهُ, شَرَوْ could have two meanings. Shara either means to sell something or to buy something. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَشَرَوْهُ, the brothers sold him. Who did they sell him to? They sold him to the travelers. وَشَرَوْهُ, they sold him, but Allah says, بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ, a paltry price, a meager price. ثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ. How much exactly did they sell him for? There are different reports. Some have suggested that for 20 dirhams, 20 silver coins. Allah says they sold him for a few silver coins. Right? Some scholars says it was 20 silver coins. They took the 20 silver coins and they distributed it equally amongst themselves. Each brother received 2 coins. According to another narration, it was 22 silver coins. According to a third narration, up to 40 silver coins they sold Yusuf alayhi salam for. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they sold him for this paltry small price. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. And Allah says, they were disinterested in him. The brothers, they didn't really want to make money out of him. So that is why they didn't really sell him for a price. Their objective was what? To separate him and distance him from the father. So let us sell him for a small price. Our objective is achieved. Mission done. There's no need to make money out of this. So let us just sell him for this meager price. We had to put a price to his head because we had to act as if he was our slave. Otherwise they would look for the rightful owners. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains that this is, and at this juncture we find that now the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, they also now momentarily for a lengthy period of time, they are now out of the scene along with the father Yaqub alayhi salam. And now we have a few different characters that come into this entire story of Yusuf alayhi salam. We move on to scene 7. According to the tafsir of Mujahid rahimahullah, he says that before the caravan was about to depart, the brothers, they tell the caravan and those people who had Yusuf alayhi salam with them, they said that look, he is in the habit, he has a bad habit, and that is he loves to run away. He's got this habit of running away. Every now and again he's missing, you can't find him. So what we suggest you do is tie him up. Tie him up. And that's exactly what they did to this young boy of 12 years old. They tied him up and they transported him all the way to Egypt. When the caravan reached Egypt, eventually they went to the slave market of Egypt. And there they offered Yusuf alayhi salam for sale. And subhanallah, the amount of bidders that came forward, because they saw this young boy, they saw the beauty, he's young, he could serve for a lengthy period of time. They saw his strength. And remember, he was to become a Nabi of Allah. So he was free from fault and free from blemishes. He was a perfect human being before them. So there were different bidders and people bidded high price, increasing the bid. Some offered gold to the weight of Yusuf. Some offered musk, a priceless merchandise before them. And some offered silk. And the highest bidder was the man who had the most
the greatest power that time in Egypt, and he was Al-Aziz. Even the Quran refers to him as Al-Aziz. Al-Aziz means a person with great strength and might. He had all the political might. He had all the political power. He had all the wealth as well. He was a man of great influence. The Quran says Al-Aziz was the one who bid the highest price for Yusuf alayhi salam, and he was fortunate enough to purchase Yusuf alayhi salam. And he was the minister of finance. The finance minister of Egypt at that time, his name was Qitfir. Qitfir was the name of the minister who purchased Yusuf alayhi salam. The king of Egypt, that time, the Fir'aun. Look, Fir'aun is not the name of any leader, but Fir'aun is the title given to every leader of Egypt. Right? So every leader of Egypt was known as Fir'aun. So even in the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, there was a Fir'aun, and his name was Rayyan ibn Usaid. So Rayyan ibn Usaid was the Fir'aun, was the king of Egypt, and Qitfir was the minister of finance who purchased Yusuf alayhi salam. Rayyan bin Usaid, the king of Egypt, did eventually embrace Islam. At a later stage, we will find out in the story, he embraced Islam at the hands of Yusuf alayhi salam, and he passed away as a Muslim. The king of Egypt, he passed away as a Muslim during the lifetime of Yusuf alayhi salam. The name of the wife of the Aziz of Egypt, there is a difference of opinion with regards to the name, her actual name. Of course, as we know, the preferred and the common opinion with regards to her name was Zulaykha. So Zulaykha is now the wife of the Aziz, the wife of the finance minister. Subhanallah, he now comes, this is Qitfir, the finance minister. He brings Yusuf alayhi salam home to his wife, who was relatively very young at the time as well, Zulaykha. She was very young at the time. And he comes home with this new young boy. And he tells his wife, he instructs Zulaykha, وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِن مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ عَسَىٰ أَن يَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. Allah says, and the one who bought him from Egypt, that is Qitfir, he said to his wife, he brought him to the palace, to the royal palace, and he said to his wife, make his stay graceful. Listen, don't treat him like common slaves. Don't treat him, he must be a royal slave in the royal palace. So make his stay graceful, give him a good time, give him the best time of his life. And he says, Asa ayyanfa'ana, perhaps he will be of some benefit to us, this young boy. You never know, in the future, he could be of some great benefit to us. Aw natakhidahu walada, or perhaps we can adopt him as a child. Why did he say this? Because Qitfir, the minister of Egypt, he could not father any children. He suffered from a medical disability. In fact, he could not even satisfy the desires of his beautiful young wife Zulaykha. And this, although it's unjustifiable what Zulaykha does at a later stage, but this, scholars say, is why she was so much driven and encouraged to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam, because she had this man who had all the power, all the wealth, she had all the beauty, she was one of the beautiful, most beautiful women in Egypt at that time, and they speak of her being a woman of glamour, you know, like a celebrity of Egypt, that is what she was. But at the same time, her husband could not father any children, nor could he satisfy her desires and fulfill her needs. So she tells him, he tells her to look after Yusuf and to make sure that Yusuf is comfortable. Subhanallah, look at how Allah's plan has worked. From the depth of a dark, deserted, abandoned pit in some deserted jungle in Syria, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought him into the royal palace of Egypt. That, if you leave it up to Allah, that is what Allah can do for you. And that is the height to which you can reach with the help and the guidance and the assistance of Allah. Allah will take you by your hand, and when you walk out on the other side, you go through that journey with Allah, you'll walk out stronger, feeling better, and most importantly, you'll be sharing this most amazing relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah says, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفِ. Allah says, and this is how we established Yusuf in the land. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. This is how we established Yusuf in the land. Allah says, look at my plan. Look at how we established him in the land. And from here we understand that Allah has granted Yusuf establishment in that land, that Allah will give him a great position of authority and power, that he will be able to rule the land, and the land will be in his governance and his control. That is what makanna means, to give him authority and control over that land. From a slave, Allah has elevated him to the position of becoming the king and the minister of Egypt at a later stage. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ Allah said, number two, why did Allah choose this royal palace for him to live in? Because what Allah says, remember Yaqub alayhi salam told him that when he was interpreting the dream, that one of the things that's going to happen to you is what? وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ Allah will teach you the interpretation and the true meaning of events. And here Allah says, we put him into the palace. Why? Why the palace? لِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ Similar expression, right? لِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ So that we should teach him the true meanings of events. Why is that? What does this mean? Look, he's going to become a politician one day. There was no institute or university where he could go and learn the science of politics, learn to become a politician. So the best place for him to be, to learn politics and to learn the science of politics and to become this influential, mighty politician in the future, a minister of finance in the future, is by living in the house of the minister of finance. Why? From a young age, from the age of 12, right up to the age of 40, okay, he's going to be living there. The minister is going to be having his meetings. He'll be around the house. He'll be listening to the talks. He'll be listening to the discussions that are taking place. And during that entire time, what is he going to be? He's going to be learning the true meaning of events and situations, and of course, the science of politics. We will conclude with the scene, inshallah. And next week, we will discuss or commence our discussion with perhaps the greatest challenge during the life of Yusuf alayhi salam, where his mistress, the wife of Al-Aziz, the wife of Qitfir, seeks to seduce Yusuf alayhi salam. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wa akhir da'wana.